Mr. Rich Israel 3.
And when the parts, what they never saw, what wasn't showed, was the actual putting the bodies into the pits with the bulldozer, loading them on the trucks, everything like that. None of that was shown on the, in the film itself, the one that I saw at Belgium Camp.
Did the did your time in Belsen change your attitude towards the Germans?
Oh yes, yes, it would do.
In what way?
Well, you could do. At one time, when we used to go through German villages, they'd be talking to you, after you want a cup of tea, or if you've got any chocolate for them or cigarettes. Well, 9 times out of 10 we'd stop, give them whatever we got, like, and the. Because there's quite a lot of them in the villages, were quite friendly. But then when we come to a bigger place, we just sort of ignored them. Didn't want to know. We should say to them, you ever been to Belsen? I said, well, what's Belsen? The concentration camp further down the road. Oh, no, no. Didn't know there was one there. That was it. The Germans themselves didn't want to know. And the. That's how we sort of left it, like, we didn't to entertain them no more like we'd been doing with the chocolates and cigarettes and everything else, like, you know. Sometimes we used to give them some of our bully beef we had. And there's old Jack Lane, one of the drivers there, what are you giving them bully beef for, he says. I said, well, give it to them and we've had enough of it, sort of thing, you know. Let them have some of it. Yeah, he said, they're Germans. I said, what, they're Germans? So it's all we know about it, like, you know.
Do you think that they wouldn't have known about the concentration camp?
Well, they wouldn't, though. Because my son now, he got married over here. He was in the Royal Artillery then. And I didn't know then. Not until lately, or about a year or so ago, that he, when he was married, he took his wife to Germany with him because he was with the Royal Artillery, and he was stationed in the exact same barracks, the SS barracks, in married quarters there, where we was taking the patients from there. And even then people around there, even after all that time, didn't know anything about Belsen. He said all the people knew, I can't think of the name of the town he was at, they went into this village, asked them about it, and they said no. All we know was that trains used to pull up here overnight, up past 11, 12 o'clock at night. We could hear people getting on and off of them. He said, but the next morning the trains had gone and nobody there. So he says, well, probably they put one trucks and took them down to Belsen. Oh, no, we didn't know nothing about that. So he says, well, did you get any smells from there? Oh, yeah, they said there was a lot of smells around all the time. But they thought it was some of the trees burning, because there's quite a few trees around there as well. And when he said that to the camp down there, a lot of them went down. He's also been down himself with his wife to see the new memorial they got there. And they've got the names all the way around. Quite a lot of them, right? And I didn't know that, not until a couple of years ago, that he was out there.
How long were you doing that job on the ambulances at Belsen?
At Belsen, I should say about a fortnight. After that time, then we moved out and somebody else took over. Somebody had to take over because there was too many there. We never had enough room to put them in the camp what we was at then. And whether they took them further back to an ADS or something like that, or a general hospital further back, we don't know. Our aim then was to sort of clear out as many as we could in the time we had. Because the officer says there's not a lot of time you can spend in there. You'll have to come out. It's going to be on your mind, he said, for the rest of your life. He said, the longer we keep it there, the worse it's going to be. He says, I will live so long in there, then you come out, somebody else will go in.
So the job wasn't finished when you
wasn't left. Finished, not when we come out. No.
How many people do you think you moved a day?
Well, I don't know, offhand. I was doing about 18 to 20 trips a day, two at a time. So I cleared a good 40 a day. I mean, that was only one ambulance. We had the 5 double ambulances and 8 at Austin, 4 stretcher ambulances. And they was on the go all the time. And on top of that, Jack Lane, the one I've been referring to, his ambulance packed up. And there's nothing we could do about it. So you found a German ambulance at the side of the road. He got over that and he found it was all right. And what we done, we hooked him onto one of the other ambulances, put a tow rope on him, and we were taking him up and down the road. So that he still got his stretchers going. Jack Lane, he was a real card, he was. He was a Yorkshireman, and he didn't give a cuss for anybody, He'd say whatever he thinks, no matter who it was. And he got told off for towing this one. And he said, what are you worried about? He said, got people here. And he said, well, take it off. And no, he says, if I take it off, we won't shorten you. Drive a short to Washington Shore. We'll go up and down like that all day.
Had the camp improved by the time you'd finished your 2-week stint?
Oh, the only improvement was that most of the bodies had been buried. That was all done. I think the engineers worked day and night on that to clear it all. And they marked every one of them, put ribbons all the way around them, put the stone or the wood there, with the name of people what was on it, the amount of people what was put in it. No names, no nothing we didn't have. Just put the names, how many was in that pit, and that was it, and then he went on to the next one. See, but that was all the, I think it was about 3 or 4 pits when we come away from there. Still waiting to be filled up, like, you know.